You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As we know, the non-binding referendum on legalising cannabis will coincide with next year's general election. Patrick Gower's new documentary, On Weed, explores the place of pot in New Zealand, as well as how legalisation has worked in other countries. Paddy reckons there's still a lack of information about the referendum, so we discussed how a debate could be encouraged in our own country.
I realised that it was just an amazing plant and, you know, there was just so much to it, and I now have a lot of respect for the plant. I really respect it as a plant now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I've got from the documentary, you know, and avid interest and respect for marijuana.
And I suppose, like, I personally feel, you know, as you say, like, I'm at uni at the moment, I'm at that age, but, like, I, you know, for many different reasons, middle class white privilege, I'm just able to do it without any consequence. And I think there hasn't been a lot of discussion yet about how this is in many ways a racial issue, because Maori are incarcerated for the consequence of marijuana at a greater rate.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking crazy, and it's wrong, right? Like, yeah. I'm the same as you, and nothing has changed in New Zealand, I'm sure, since I went to uni, or your parents went, the generation before me, or you guys. You can come to uni and you can do a fucking bucky bong, you know, the spotty knives out at home, you know, weeds all around, and nothing is going to happen to you here if you're a white kid at uni, right?
Exactly.
Nothing. When was the last time a white kid got done for DACA at uni in New Zealand? Fucking the answer is never.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But, you know, if we look at Māori, we see the facts are, the stats are, the reality is that they get criminalised for cannabis, even if they're using it in many situations to put kai on the table.
Yeah.
And people are going to see this documentary. We actually go and we see people over on the east coast there in Ruatoria who are learning to grow hemp. You know, they don't need to learn how to grow marijuana because they've been growing shitloads.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, they tell us in the documentary, like, this weed that we're growing here, this hemp, this is shit compared to what we grow up in the bush or at home or whatever. They're pretty upfront and honest. But they are trying to get a qualification so that they can work for Hikarangi, which is the medicinal cannabis company over on the east coast there. So we've got some growers who are out in the open that they're trying to get a qualification, and they're ready to go straight if New Zealand opens this up for them.
Cool.
And, you know, that's going to be awesome. And I think that needs to happen. We need to wipe their convictions. If we do legalize, or even with medicinal, we need to wipe convictions so that people who have been criminalized can come in and work in this industry. And I really hope people watch the documentary as well. We actually go to a place called Black Star in California, which is an African-American now out in the open legal company growing cannabis that was actually an underground company before they went legal about 2 years ago.
Right.
So their point is the same. Their point is exactly the same as Māori here.
Yeah.
We were the ones that were criminalised. We were the ones that were prosecuted. We were the ones that were persecuted. Now it's gone legal. 90%, or I think even 95% of the industry in California is run by white men.
Yeah.
And that is fucking wrong.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
That is so wrong. So, you know, this is something else that, to me, I've learned about along the way as well. This is big for Māori, and we've got to get it right.
Yeah.
And going to the States and seeing, hey, look, you know, African Americans getting screwed over. We can avoid that here if we've got the right kind of plan when we legalize, and I hope the government is listening to this kind of thing.
I saw a couple of weeks ago the Herald reported that support for it has dropped quite significantly to 39% in anticipation of the referendum. What do you think sort of is the biggest hesitation that people have in New Zealand?
I think that when it comes to cannabis in New Zealand, there is so much misinformation, disinformation, and there's a whole lot of myths around it, and there's actually a whole lot of bullshit around weed in this country, right? I was the same, even though I'm a pretty out there guy and smoke a bit of weed and stuff like that. I didn't know a whole lot of stuff about it. I thought with my mum, who died of cancer, if I wanted to give her medical marijuana, I'd have to walk into her bedroom and take a bong in there. I didn't realise I didn't realise that I could have taken her in a dropper of medically kind of designed cannabis and given her a little drop under her tongue, which would have taken away her stress. So that's the sort of misinformation that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The other thing, I think, you know, you've got baby boomers in control of this country, and they're a relatively conservative, and actually they're actually quite selfish as well, you know, with the greatest respect to them, because I know and love a lot of baby boomers, as we all do. But you know, they might be just saying, hey, medical cannabis is enough, that's something that, you know, but I don't want to take the risk of bringing in full-scale recreational cannabis. But you know, at the same time, we've got people like Paula Bennett, Mike Hosking?
It's not Mark Hosking, is it?
You know, they're banging this drum, saying, you know, there's all these bad things that can come with cannabis. But what they don't say, and what frustrates the fuck out of me, is they don't say, well, what are we going to do about the fact that we're criminalising people for it right now? What are we going to do with all the money that we're spending on the police busting people for it, 200 million plus? Then there comes the court costs, right? What are we going to do about all that? What are we going to do about all the weed that's growing everywhere? What are we going to do about the gangs that are selling it to people? What are we going to do about the gangs that are selling it to people and then they sell some meth on the side or some cinnies on the side? What are we going to do about all that? So there's no answers from this no side as to what we're going to do with about something that is here. 80% of people have tried it. So, you know, I'm not yes, I'm not no, but I am in favour of removing the disinformation, removing some of the bullshit that's out there about weed, and having a decent fucking debate for once in this country, not a debate run by Mike Hosking and Paula Bennett, right? One side. Okay, and that McCroskey guy. You know, fuck that. We're better than that, right? And this plant deserves more respect than that. We need to try and understand it and try and make the best decision about it, and whether that's yes or no, at least have a proper fucking debate about it.
How do you feel about the referendum being non-binding?
I think a referendum is the best way to do this, because I think there's just no way you could do this without New Zealanders having a say for themselves, right? But what we're seeing is the referendum becoming politicised. So, you know, I reckon that National and Paula Bennett and Bridges, Simon Bridges and that, have just jumped on it because they're like, look, the baby boomers don't want this. We want to be on their side. We want to hammer this, you know, so we're not actually going to have a proper debate from that side. They've just taken it as a political kind of battleground that they reckon they can win.
Politicizes in like a strategic sort
that's
of
right, just
thing.
For just for their own just for their own party kind of popularity, because they're kind of just taking the right side or what they think is the right side to be on. And then we've got Jacinda Ardern and company sitting right out of the debate. It's almost like they don't want to be in it. And then we're not getting like a clear plan from the government of what they'd actually do, which adds to this kind of disinformation and fear about what might happen, because people don't see a plan. Like, it's not binding. We don't know exactly what the rules are going to be. All of a sudden, we're not that far away from having the vote.
We've
got no one from the government telling us really what's going on. And then we've got the other side just bashing the idea away. And, you know, yes, it's got a lot of problems as well, but we're not actually working that out. And that's what I'm hoping that the documentary will come to. So, you know, I think a referendum is the right way to do it, but the way we're going about it and the way our politicians going about it is actually fucking with that referendum.
One particular that I, you know, given my demographic, I'm concerned with is, I know that my parents often say they think if it were to be legalised, it's undeniable the consequence of smoking a lot of dope for under 25-year-olds. Is that a particular aspect that you want to see incorporated into the debate? Did you sort of mind change after the documentary from that?
I mean, and that's something that worries me as well, because we've all got mates that smoke weed and it slows them down. You know, they don't reach their potential. And, you know, when you see that, when you see someone that you know well, and you're like, you know, if he hadn't got on the weed when he was 16, 17, 18, you know, who knows? He might have been an All Black. He might have been a doctor. He might have been a brilliant musician. Who knows what might have happened to that person? So we've all sort of seen that, you know, and the science is there as well. But I think we know those people that weed has got in the way of them reaching their potential in life, and that absolutely sucks. No one wants to see that, right? And, you know, we also see that that will happen with other things, though, like alcohol and stuff like that. So, you know, depression and stuff like that are also coming into this sort of sphere of holding people back from their potential. So it's not the only thing out there that's doing that. But that, to me, has to be the biggest downside of potentially legalising cannabis, is that it is becomes more normalized for young people, potentially more available in some ways, and that, you know, older brothers and sisters, and, you know, you just sort of know that things will kind of get there that way. And there's no clear answer to that, to how we protect our young people's brains from it.
Yeah.
You know, there is, you know, there's education and stuff like that, but we sort of know that that sort of fails with alcohol, and, you know, so to me, you know, that's a real downside, and not one that I reckon you can easily argue away.
Totally.
Yeah, you can just say, look, it's already here, and at least it'll be out in the open.
And that's why the debate needs to happen.
Yeah, and that's why the debate needs to happen.
That was Paddy Gower on the nature of the marijuana debate in New Zealand. I also spoke to the Drug Foundation's Ross Bell about the validity of what Paddy was saying and sort of the reservations that voters may have. And I started by asking him about some of the misinformation that Paddy mentioned.
Some of the misinformation that I'm more worried about is the stuff that's coming from shock jocks like Mike Hosking, who both on the radio and in his columns is pushing a whole, you know, and he has an audience, and he's just saying, he's just spreading a little bit of, you know, lies, and hasn't been willing to actually engage on the evidence on the other side. And I also think Paula Bennett from National, who's their drug policy person and leading, you know, the charge on this, is pushing a fine line around some of the facts and factoids that she's using. But I think that there's a bigger issue here too, is I'm just wondering if we've got myth and misinformation, not just because it's cannabis, but because that's the world we're in these days, that the world of fake news, the way that you can target lies on Facebook. I'm just wondering if cannabis, this debate, is falling into that sort of wider issue that it seems we're unable as a society to have mature conversations about important issues.
Absolutely. Paddy kind of had a similar approach where, you know, it doesn't really come down to yes or no at this point. It's just the fact that the whole point of having a non-binding referendum is that we stop and as a nation have a conversation about one of our most pressing issues, which this in many ways is.
Yeah, we need to have that. And when you have a private conversation with people who might be sceptical about the need for reform, when you have those conversations, it's quite easy to change people's minds, to figure out, you know, what are they fearful about, and to actually alleviate their fears through that conversation. And you can do that, you know, with those face-to-face conversations, and that's why we think people have to be holding those. But when it comes to public discourse, because, you know, I get where Paddy's coming from, but because the nature of this is a yes-no question, and immediately people have to hop into camps, you're either for us or against us, and you immediately lose the need to have those important conversations about here's your fears, here's the way that we can alleviate those fears.
And again, I am
worried about that. And so you want to have the conversation, but I'm not sure that political discourse, when it comes to something so binary, is going to allow us to do that.
Labour have in the past referred to the evidence that people under the age of 25, their brains aren't ready to smoke weed regularly. Does the Drug Foundation have sort of a response to that pretty valid worry?
There are lots of worries about the harms of cannabis, and I think youth mental health is one of them. Brain development falls into that. There's issues around drug driving and workplace impairment. You know, we know the science around the physical harms as well as the mental health harms. Our pushback on that is, yes, cannabis is not without its harms. We shouldn't overstate the harms, but cannabis is not a harmful substance. But we have to remember, you know, we've got to look at what's the best way to address those harms. And we have tried for almost 50 years to address those harms by handing control of cannabis into the hands of organised crime. And I'm worried about the harms of cannabis, and I'd really prefer not to have harm reduction in the hands of organised crime who don't care. I am convinced that it's easier to address those real harms of cannabis with government taking control.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.